Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm your host, Ashton Nix, and joining me today, returning actually, is my friend Chris Robb Jr. What's going on, Chris?
How you doing?
Pretty good, considering. I mean, we're going to be talking NFL today. It's the start of the NFL season, and Cowboys kicked off their season against the Buccaneers, Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, on Thursday Night Football, and it looked pretty good overall. Exciting game.
Yeah, they came out. They definitely fought hard. They took Tampa Bay's punch at the beginning because I thought it was going to be a runaway, especially when Antonio Brown was just like he was 2015 Antonio Brown, just doing whatever he wanted on the field. But, you know, they fought back and, you know, they fought hard.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that their defense is improved. Yeah. Looking at them, they look like that, but it's like one drive. There were a couple drives in a row they got turnovers. They had four turnovers in the game, which is a lot better than last year. And then you'll have one drive where they hold them, they're three and out, they punt it, and then the next drive, like you said, you know, you throw a deep bomb to Antonio Brown, and it's like night and day. They were either playing really great or terrible, and nothing in between. And I get it. It was a lot of Anthony Brown who was covering Antonio Brown last night.
Right.
A big hole in their defense, and we're not trying to say their defense is good or anything. As good as are the tools, offensive tools that the Cowboys have, I just need their defense to be average or slightly below average, and they can be pretty decent overall as a team. And yeah. I kind of like what I saw from the defense, just as an improvement. I mean, I guess our standards were pretty low going into this year.
Right.
But I'd like to see a little more consistency. I mean, if they can get four turnovers every game, if they can hold Mike Evans to, what was it, three catches for about 40 yards?
Yeah.
Diggs did really good job of guarding him, although Mike Evans did have a couple of drops. But overall, what did you think of the defense?
I thought that, you know, because, you know, last year they were historically bad. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought they did a really good job. I chalked those, you know, the big plays to, you know, Tampa Bay just being a great team. You know, you can't hold a great team down for long. But for the most part, I thought, you know, they did really good, especially forcing those turnovers. That's big because the past few years the Cowboys have been close to the bottom of the league and, you know, turnovers and the fact that they were able to get two picks, they were able to get a couple fumbles, is really promising, especially, like you said, with Diggs guarding Mike Evans. I feel like, you know, since he guards Amari every day in practice, I feel like Mike Evans, his routes aren't as crisp as Amari's, so it was probably a little easier for him, and plus Diggs is a bigger corner, so... you know, I like what I saw from him. I like what I saw from the defense for the most part, just the big plays, just, I guess, limit big plays.
Yeah. Everything was pointing to the defense being better this year. I mean, it couldn't have been much worse, but typically when you see defenses that are really good one year, there's always a drop off the next year, or if they're really bad, it's hard to be consistent with defenses from year to year. And we try to chalk it up last year to COVID, although every team was dealing with COVID, but you had a brand new coaching staff. You didn't really have an off season or a training camp. Everything was video, and they were trying to run a really complex defense last year.
Right.
So you're like, okay, well, I'm not saying they're good or anything, but if they're an okay defense and you add all that in, sure, it could be one of the worsts. And you're exactly right. I mean, most defenses the Cowboys have had the last 10 years have been about average, not terrible, bend, don't break type. They're not going to shut you down, but maybe they'll stay, you know, they'll keep you in the game so the offense can do what they do. But they're not going to get a lot of turnovers. And that's, it was refreshing last night. Although Tom Brady's two interceptions, you really don't want to pin it on him. They're kind of freak plays. One was a Hail Mary and one was off Leonard Fournette's hands. But it's heads up plays on the part of the Cowboys defense to take advantage of that.
Yeah, they like you said, it's definitely refreshing because like the past 2 years, 3 years, I'm just like, man, we can't get an interception to save our lives. Like, you know, last year they kind of picked it up at the very end, but I mean it was too late at that point. But you know, the fact that I saw them getting turnovers, forcing fumbles, you know, it was definitely a good thing. But as far as just coverage and like I look at coverage a lot. I feel like they did, you know, pretty good. It's just a couple broken plays, like I said, just the big plays. And of course, you know, they left points on the field, you know, in the kicking game. So they just, you know, it's a lot of, you know, positive and you can take out of the game and you can just, you know, move forward and get better than next week.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the kicking. Well, I'll talk about that in just a second. But yeah, to finish up on defense, to be fair, you were talking about coverages and Anthony Brown being exposed. To be mm-hmm. fair, if there's a team that has a better receiving core than the Cowboys, or at least as good, it's going to be the Buccaneers.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Mike Evans didn't have a great game, but Antonio Brown was outrageous. 121 yards and a touchdown, including that long bomb that Tom Brady mm-hmm. threw that past Anthony Brown. But he looks like, you know, the Antonio Brown of a few years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
Chris Godwin, 9 receptions, 105 yards and a touchdown. And then freaking Gronk. Like, you think he's done. He's too banged up. I mean, wow. He had a lot of good plays, mentally good plays. Like, you want to mm-hmm. You want to knock on him, and especially the year he was retired when he was doing analyst work, that he's not a very bright guy. But on the football field, he is. He was reading the defenses, like, okay, if this guy does, and Chris Collinsworth was talking about it and breaking it down on one of those touchdowns. It's like, okay, if he drops down or if he blitzes, I'm going to go. And that's all Brady was looking at was Gronk. And as soon as Gronk went, he threw it, easy touchdown. Gronk had 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. So you would think going forward, they're not going to face the receiving corps that they did this week, at least not near to that same level. So maybe Anthony Brown can be an effective corner for this team moving forward. Yeah. Because it didn't look like it last night.
Yeah. He's a solid player. Like you said, like touching back on what you were talking about, you know, with Gronk, he's just a great football player. And him and Tom have that connection. They've been, you know, they've been playing together for years. They've won Super Bowls. And Gronk was just, he's not the fastest, but, I mean, he's 6'6", 270 pounds. So, like, you know, like, especially, like, in the goal line, they had one play where it was like a rollout play action. And he just boxed out like 2 people at once, and they just, you know, threw it right to him. So, I mean, like you can't really coach that type of size, and plus he's, you know, he's skilled as well. So, you know, like you said, that the Bucs probably have, if not the Cowboys, the Bucs are the best receiving core in the league. So, you know, moving forward, I feel, you know, pretty good about the Cowboys in their coverage.
Yeah, going to the kicking game last night.
Oh, man.
Greg the Leg Zuerlein started off missing an easy, I think, 31, 32-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Would have brought the Cowboys within 4 at the time. After, I believe it was the first interception, the Cowboys go score a touchdown. He misses the extra point. So right away, there's a 4-point swing. They're down 14-13. Right. But it happened early. I know a lot of people say he hits those field goals, they win. It's hard to say that. I mean, I'll accept that if he misses these 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, even if he missed them in the fourth quarter in general, because it's hard to tell coming so early in the game. Game plans are going to change. So you're telling me he makes one of those field goals. Of course, one of them he missed was a 60-yarder. It's, you know, I'm not going to throw that. He almost made that one.
Exactly, yeah.
But you're telling me that final drive for the Buccaneers where they took the lead, the Cowboys would have been up 4 and not 1. And, of course, the Bucs aren't going to settle for a field goal in that situation. Right. So I would much rather be in a situation up 4 than 2, but or 4 than 1. But it's hard to definitively say if he makes those, we win. But, man, when you're an underdog down with an 8-point spread, that's a big spread in football.
Yes, the biggest spread in of week 1.
Yeah, of week 1. And typically that's for... You know, bring back the Steelers from last year when they were when they had lost a game playing winless teams. You know, that spreads maybe 10 points, and you know, okay, they're going to win more, but Vegas isn't. You know, it's hard when, at least from the perspective of Cowboys fans, we know this team has a lot of talent. So to be down or to have. 8-point spread and to leave 4 points off the scoreboard right out of the gate, like the end of the first quarter, beginning of second quarter, it's hard to overcome that. But man, the Cowboys offense showed up.
Yeah.
Dak was a little shaky at first. There was a few throws that were behind or ahead of, especially CeeDee Lamb. There was one pretty big throw that was a little behind him that the CeeDee Lamb almost caught. But after that, he really relaxed and got into the groove of things. I mean, there was a lot of check downs, a lot of short throws. It's hard to tell if that was because of his shoulder injury, because the Cowboys said, you know, there's nothing, we're not holding anything back on him. He's free to go. I know a lot of it was reading the defense for the Buccaneers, what they were running, how they lined up. But 42-58, 403 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did have an interception, which at first looked like it was Dak overthrowing him, but it was a pretty good throw. To CeeDee Lamb, who statistically they called it a drop. I'm not going to get too up on him. Of course, it was an interception, so you know you want to be mad at him. If it would have just been a normal drop, you're like, okay, that's not an amazing catch if he makes it, but that's a difficult catch. Yeah, but he's got 3 or 4 defenders around him, and Dak really just made a great throw. And really would have been one of the longest plays of the game for the Cowboys. But, yeah, he drops it, but... Again, like I said, I don't really want to blame Dak for it, but usually I don't play that card. Yeah, you can pick and choose certain interceptions that are the quarterback's fault or not. Like, I don't think those two were Brady's fault, but it usually ends up evening out at the end of the year because there's a lot of throws that should be interceptions. I know Dak threw one last night that one of the Bucs defenders was easily going to catch. But I believe it was Adams reached up and knocked it down, and it made it a harder catch.
Right.
So it evens out for me. I'm not going to block off and say I'm not counting that interception because it'll even out in the end. But, no, great, great overall performance by Dak.
Yeah, I think he played really well. He started out just a little shaky, but, I mean, at one point it was like 13 for 15 or something like that. So, he came out, he was looking good. I think he's reading defenses is a lot better. I don't know, maybe the fact that he like sat out and, you know, had a chance to, you know, just look and, you know, study the game a little more. But, you know, he was hitting his check downs. He wasn't forcing too many throws. Every time he threw the ball, I thought it was going to be a completion, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time he like dropped back and threw, I was like, oh, you know, it's a completion. And, you know, he was finding his guys. You know, he found pretty much everybody. Everyone, you know, got the ball, got a catch or two. So, you know, he looked really good. I'm not gonna like jump the gun, but I think he could probably have a MVP year if he can, you know, keep it up. I for sure a comeback player of the year type of year. He was finding his guys. Amari was getting open. You know, I was like, where's Amari? And then, you know, he made a play here. He had a big play at the very beginning. And then he kind of like disappeared for a little bit, but he definitely showed, you know, why he's, you know, the number one receiver, you know, on the team for sure. And the fact that it was on the road, it definitely like gave me hope because, you know, Amari is a great home receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
But on the road, he kind of struggles.
He disappears. And it's hard to tell because Amari's been hurt so much and not missing a lot, but he'll have bad games and you find out he was injured or beaten up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Amari had a great game. 13 receptions, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was just saying a couple of weeks ago he believes he's one of the best receivers in the league. Yeah, and that's saying something because Amari doesn't talk a lot. For a receiver, you know, the receivers are kind of big, loud mouths, and Terrell Owens comes to mind, Randy Moss.
Yeah.
But Amari's a pretty quiet guy. And that's why it can get hard to call him out when he has bad games. And you don't know the frustrations he's going through because he doesn't voice his opinion very often. But no, he has a great start to this season. But Dak, even without the injury, I mean, this is such a great story because we didn't know what he was going to be after missing nearly a year of football.
Right.
And even without all that, it's a solid game. I mean, he ran a few times. He didn't seem hesitant to run. I mean, we could talk about the offensive line a little bit. I thought they did okay. Considering they didn't have Zach Martin, they did really good.
Yeah, me too.
Didn't give up any sacks, which is unheard of. Even when you go back a few years to the Cowboys having one of the best lines in the NFL. But Dak was pressured a lot. He did dump the ball a little bit because of that. But it worked out. Completed a lot. Like I said, 42 of 58. The fact that he threw 58 passes is kind of ridiculous. I mean, you go back to the few games he played last year when they were having to come back because they were down by a lot and he was throwing 40 or 50 passes. So if you just told me before the game that he was going to throw 58, I was going to think, crap, they got down by a lot. But no, really, they stayed with the Buccaneers just about the entire game. There was one period where Tampa Bay got up 28-19, I believe. But they were up by 9. That was really the only time it was more than a one possession game. But they kept answering back, and I like the play calling. I don't know that the fact that Zeke only ran the ball, I think, 10 times makes me feel better. I mean, you know, offensive lines, you didn't have Zach Martin, and like you had mentioned before the show, Tampa Bay has one of the best rush defenses in the league. But the times he did run it outside of one play, it just didn't look like the same Zeke. He didn't, I guess the same for the last couple of years, sure, but you're still hoping that we see something where he's completely healthy. And this year he's in the best shape of his life, supposedly, where he gets that burst back. And I don't know if he's ever getting it back.
Yeah, I feel like he had a couple runs where I was like, okay, you know, that's the old Zeke, but I'm not really sure. I don't know if I should chalk it up to the Bucs defense, like the defensive line, or maybe they should just try to give him the ball a little bit more. Because, I mean, 11 carries isn't really a lot, but at the same time, you have to keep up with the Bucs because the Bucs didn't run the ball that much either. They had, like, I think they had under 15 carries for the game. So, like, total. So, it might just been one of those games where, you know, like the OCs were just like, yeah, we're gonna try to put points on the board. We're gonna just throw it around because he threw the ball 50 times. So, you know, maybe it was just one of those things, you know, one of those, you know, game, it's like game by game situations. The coaches were just, you know, we're just gonna, you know, throwing the ball as effective right now. So that's what we're gonna do.
But, yeah.
I would love for Zeke to get a few more carries, but you know, the game is changing. You know, the running back isn't really utilized like they used to be. So
yeah, I like Kellen Moore's play calling, if you want to compare to what we're used to with Jason Garrett for so long, where we run on first down, we don't gain more than a couple of yards. Okay, well, we have to throw now. And incomplete pass, all of a sudden it's third and long.
Now you're throwing. But
Zeke did. There were a couple of plays where it seems maybe the last couple of years, if he runs into that wall, he stops for no gain. And he was able to push through a couple, and it didn't look real flashy. He gained maybe 2 or 3 yards, but he was hit right at the line of scrimmage and pushed up a couple of yards. There was one third down play. It was third and one. He got hit in the backfield, and I thought, oh, never mind here. Fourth down, but he was able to get it for the first down. He got up right to the line and reached the ball out. And there were a lot of plays, if you looking back at the replays, he did a pretty good job blocking.
Yes, he did.
As much pressure was on Dak, and as many players they were blitzing, it seems Zeke would come in and hit the last guy for a second, just giving Dak a couple extra seconds to throw the ball. I would like to see Zeke more involved in the passing game. I think that's if you want to call him productive the last couple of years, that's the only time he really was. But again, with Zeke in there on those blocking assignments, it's hard to do that. Cause he's not a big guy. You would see Gronk, when the Bucs were on offense, Gronk would block and then roll off and get a pass. But when Zeke was blocking, he almost had to throw himself out where he was on the ground. It's not like he could just do a little block, but you know, Gronk probably has 6 inches on Zeke.
Yeah, exactly. And he was picking up, you know, probably the best or one of the best linebacking cores in the league. So like, especially, you know, Devin White, Levante David, they're screaming down. He has to, you know, do all he can to, you know, make that block, give Dak an extra second or two. And, you know, he did that. I remember one time it was Devin White, and they had a stunt, and Devin White, you know, was sprinting up the middle, and Zeke hit him, but like Zeke did a 360, where they gave him just enough time to, you know, gave Dak just enough time to, you know, get the completion out. And that's a tough job. It's tough sledding in there, especially at running back, where you got to, you know, pick up blitzes. You got to find the blitz, pick up the blitz. And, you know, I feel like he's going to have a good year this year. I'm just going to chalk it up to just one of those games where, you know, they kind of game plan for him. But, you know, I guess we'll see come next week.
Yeah, he had 11 carries for 33 yards. So about 3 yards a carry. It's not terrible.
Right.
If he can maintain that, like, it's not good, especially for what you're paying him.
Right.
But, you know, if you know, they used Pollard a lot more, and if he can be effective, I mean, I like what Zeke's capable of, or what he's been capable of in the past, and of course his contract. You know, I'd like him to at least be 4 or 5 yards a carry, but you know, that may be wishful thinking. And again, maybe it'll be different with Zach Martin back next week, and
yeah,
against an inferior rush defense compared to the Buccaneers. But yeah, I guess Zeke's days of being a top 5, even a top 10 running back are over. I think he was still considered, not stat-wise, but just saying, is Zeke a top 5 or top 10 running back? Even the last couple of years, everyone think, yeah, he's there. He's just, for some reason, not being productive. But now I think it's safe to say, yeah, if we could just get him middle of the road back for a couple more years, try, you know, with a decent offensive line, maybe you can get something done with, you know, Dak throwing 40 times a game.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think Zeke is, if he were a top 10, he'd probably be in the bottom half, because like I could probably think of like 5 off the top of my head. So yeah, he's probably either the bottom half of the top 10 or probably right outside the top 10. because, you know, it's a lot of great running backs out there right now. Even Aaron Jones in Green Bay, he's stepping up, you know, so, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully we'll see that, you know, that 2016-17, but we'll see.
we'll see
which people like you said.
Yeah, maybe it was just the game plan. And of course it was 11 carries. I mean, when I'm saying 4 or 5 yards a carry, going back to those 2016 days, it's not like every time he touched the ball, he'd gain 5 yards. There were a lot of times he would gain 1 or 2 yards. Mm-hmm. But he'd have those bursts of 40 yards or 50 yards. Exactly. One of those. So who's not to say if you give him 20 carries a game that he doesn't break off a couple of those?
Break one, yeah.
But that was just their game plan going into there. I know Mike McCarthy said we're going to do more of a style of reacting to what they're doing, see what they give us, which I like because that's more prone to Patriots for the last 20 right. some odd years. Not Jason Garrett saying, you know, we're going to do our game plan no matter what, I don't care what happens type situation. And, you know, it felt like the Cowboys were in that game the entire time.
Yeah, I never thought they were out of it.
And a couple of different times in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, they were even ahead. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Dak Prescott threw for 58, had 58 attempts, isn't the fact that they were down most of the game. Because a lot of times I'm thinking, man, they just keep throwing the ball. They can run it once or twice here. And that might have helped in the end where you're not giving Tom Brady the ball back with a little over a minute left.
Right.
But no, I like them to run their game plan that way. I'm not a football expert. I just sit here and have a sports podcast pretending to be an expert. So I'm not going to sit there and, you know, as much as it hurts to see a Cowboys loss, especially a close one like that, maybe it's holding our standards low. Mm-hmm. Pretty skeptical, or maybe not skeptical, but pretty positive about what the season's going to be, because I don't think very many people thought the Cowboys were going to win. I thought it was possible. I thought they were getting hated on a lot more than they should have, because they do have a lot of talent. But yeah, I wasn't thinking they were going to win. So the fact that they stood up and took the Super Bowl champs to the end like that, and in fact, with all these mistakes we're talking about, Zeke not being good, the missed field goals, the breaks in defense, the fact that you only lost by 2 makes me feel positive on a game that I pretty much chalked up as a loss anyways, considering considering they have an easy schedule and a terrible division. You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities to say, hey, they should easily win this division if everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, I think for sure they can definitely win a division. It was one of those games where I thought it before. I was talking to my friends. I was telling them, like, this is just a measuring stick game, because whenever I looked at the schedule, I was like, okay, L, and then I would go on, you know, see, like, okay, this could be a win, this could be a win, L, this could be a win, you know. So it was definitely one of those games where I chalked it as a loss. But the fact that they went down there, you know, Tampa Bay ring banner night, and – you know, blow for blow, you know, with the champs that brought every starter back, it's definitely promising for sure. I think they can. I was looking at the schedule. I think they could probably win 10 or 11 games. I'm just being, you know, a Cowboys fan. I think they could win 11 games. You know, I'm giving some games I probably should lean, but the way they looked last night, I think they could win 11 games, especially in the NFC East. They gotta at least go 5-1. You know, I feel like they should at least go 5-1. They might split a game with Washington, but other than that, I don't see them, you know, losing too many of those games.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions with their defense. Like I said last night, if you take into account everything, put it all in one big lump, there were average defense. I mean, they gave up 31 points, but overall they did better than we thought they were going to do. I just don't like the inconsistency of one drive, three and out, The next drive, give up a bomb to Antonio Brown. The next drive, you get an interception. It's
right.
I like to see them rein that in more, because they need to be able to have those bend not break drives where it's okay. Like that final drive, Patriots, watching Tom Brady. The Buccaneers got the first down. I'm like, it's okay. That's fine. They just need to hold them out of field goal range. And, of course, they didn't. What I personally think is a bogus pass interference call, a non-pass interference call. But, you know, a lot of people want to say Brady refs. I disagree, because there were a lot of calls that went the Cowboys' way. Not rightfully so. They should have gone the Cowboys' way, but they're really close plays that are close calls that could have gone either way. And, you know, if Tom Brady was really favored by the refs, I don't think they would have made a lot of those calls. But overall, it's hard to say satisfying game with them not being able to pull it off, because about maybe it's in the third quarter, I'm thinking, okay, they should win this game. You know, before the game, I'm like, okay, keep it close, have a good game, let Dak be Dak, and the defense be okay. And then, sure, like if you told me before the game they lose by two, Dak was great, I'm like, okay, good. But going through that, experiencing it, like, man, they really should have won that game. And yeah, it seems like one that got away. But I hope that one game wouldn't cost them. I think we'd be more disappointed in the season if that's the one game anyways, because with this division, they should. I went down the schedule, and I chalked up two losses, because most games can go either way, but I chalked up the Chiefs and the Buccaneers were going to be a loss. And then I don't remember all the games, but there were six of them that I said, okay, these should be wins no matter what. And then the rest are kind of up in the air. So really, if they can go 500 the rest of the way of those games that I wasn't, that I didn't pick a definitive winner, that's about 10 games, 10 or 11 games as well. I think that's best case scenario, because there are going to be games, I think, they're just going to blow somebody out. Then there are going to be really disappointing games where Zeke fumbles or Dak throws a couple interceptions. That's just part of the journey of an NFL season. But I think if everything goes well, not a lot of injuries or COVID issues, I think it's 10 or 11 wins. But I can see things going bad and, you know, being 7 or 8 wins. I know Vegas said they're about an 8-win team. It said a 9-win team. But typically Vegas kind of inflates Cowboys numbers. Because there's so many people follow the Cowboys and people will bet for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like you said, I was looking at the schedule. Now that I saw like the way they look, especially against the best team in the league, you know, hopefully they can stay consistent with it. I had chalked up the Chiefs, you know, as a loss for sure. And then, I gave Washington one of those games, but a lot of these games they can, you know, I feel pretty confident. It's not one of those games where they're walking in, I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to lose this game, like last year or the year before. But this year, especially, like even New Orleans, it's at New Orleans. They're gonna have a good crowd there. If they're able to wait, it'll be in December. So yeah, they'll be back in New Orleans. But they're gonna have a good crowd there. They usually do pretty well against New Orleans for the most part. You know, in recent years, I feel like every game they can, you know, compete in. Even the Chiefs game, you know, maybe it's just me being a Cowboys fan, and I have a lot of Chiefs friends that you know that I like talk the trash to, but you know, I think that, you know, that's a game that they can go to Arrowhead and, you know, play hard and fight. But I don't really see them losing too many NFC East games. I think the hardest game out of the schedule, out of the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe the Cardinals, but or the Patriots. But you know, we'll see. You know, hopefully they keep going, keep elevating, and keep getting better each week.
Yeah, and the reason you're talking about, like, maybe the Patriots, there's so many question marks. Like, the Patriots, nobody knows with a rookie quarterback.
Exactly.
Assuming, well, they play in week 4, week 5. They play in pretty early, so I assume they'll still have a rookie quarterback starting. Cardinals is one thing. I know. I think the score was 35-10 last year. Of course, Andy Dalton was starting. But watching the game, outside of a few crazy plays, there was a couple interceptions, bad interceptions. It's hard to say the Cardinals really outplayed them. The score definitely did not do the game justice. I mean, obviously they did outplay him, but not to the tone of 35-10. With right. Dak in there, I think it's a different story. So I have that game up in the air, and the Saints I kept up in the air because Jameis Winston is his strength is throwing the ball down the field, and as we saw last night, that may be an issue for the Cowboys.
Right.
So I think they can't right now. If they were to play next week, I think they would have the Cowboys favored. It's hard to tell in December what these teams are going to be like.
Right.
But
yeah, I think Vegas had the Cowboys. I know last week they had them as underdogs. I think they were like 2-point underdogs going into the Chargers game.
Yeah. But and that may change, but they're going to wait. They're going to wait to see how the Chargers do this week.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid the Cowboys are going to make Jameis Winston look really good. But that, again, that doesn't mean that. I mean, Tom Brady nearly threw for 400 yards, had 4 touchdowns, and they only lost by 2. I mean, looking at these receiving numbers, Antonio Brown 121, Godwin 105, Gronk 90.
Right.
That's not overcomeable, especially since you have the Cowboys. Amari 139 and 2 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb had 104 yards and a touchdown. Right. With as many plays as want to stick out that dropped passes. And you know, this receiving core, like you had mentioned earlier, a lot of people got looks. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it seemed like just about everybody outside of Zeke were getting thrown to. Yeah. So there's a lot to look forward to with this Cowboys team.
Yeah, I think even with the tight end situation, Dalton Schultz, he looked pretty good. You know, Blake Jarwin, he looked pretty good. So, you know, we've been trying to replace Jason Witten for years. And I think those two there, I mean, obviously they're not Jason Witten, but I feel like they're a little more athletic, more faster, especially in Jason Witten's like his last years in the league. You know, they can go out there and they can catch the ball. They catch and run. They threw a couple, you know, tight end screens. They were getting, you know, 15 yards. And, you know, I like the way Kellen Moore called the game. I think, you know, just keep adding more wrinkles to the playbook. Keep getting your receivers touches. You know, like I said, like Amari had 13 catches. CD has, you know, 7 catches for 104. So you keep doing that, and they can definitely do a lot of damage this year.
Yeah, and I mean the tight end situation looked like you said, Jason Witten's last few seasons. I mean, just his little 5 yards, turn around, catch the ball. But you would think the thing with Schultz is he's had a few plays in the last few years where it may not be deep downfield, but it's a little screen pass or Dak catches him over the middle and he'll run for 30 or 40 yards. And you're thinking, okay, this is a change from J.C. Witten for the last few years, just because you know what you're getting. I mean, you can get those big plays. I mean, Jason Witten, his big plays were far and few between the last few years. But, you know, he was just that security blanket for Romo's last few years as well.
Right.
But you like the athleticism, and hopefully we can see more of that. I mean, even Michael Gallup had, I think, 4 or 5 catches. They were real early on, and then he had gotten beat up, banged up and hurt. And I'm not sure how much he played the last few drives. I know he was injured, but he definitely didn't get any catches.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Cedric Wilson in the last in the
Cedric Wilson in the second too. Half.
Yeah, Cedric Wilson. But I was trying to figure out where he went because I didn't.
They had mentioned he had gotten hurt. Maybe it was cramps. I know he had walked off, I think, in the second quarter, kind of limping. They didn't say anything about it. And then they mentioned in the third quarter, like, Michael Gallup is hurt after this play, which I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice
it. Because I don't think he had a catch in the second half. But he was playing in the third quarter and gotten hurt again and went off the field. But you had brought up Cedric Wilson. We'll talk about this real quick because I wasn't even planning on it. How do you like all the number changes, the different rules and the numbers?
I'm on the fence because I love it in college, but the fact that it hasn't been like that in the NFL, maybe I have to adjust to it because it's weird seeing linebackers number 9.
And number 6 nearly getting a couple of sacks. Cedric Wilson wasn't as bad, I guess, because he's a receiver, but it was really weird to see number 1. Mm-hmm. Micah Parsons wasn't that bad at 11 because I'm not used to seeing him in a Cowboys uniform anyways. But it was weird seeing Jalen Smith wearing 9, and I'm not a big fan of it. I don't care either way. I mean, if you ask me, like, yeah, I'd prefer not to do it, but I don't really care. It is kind of weird. It's more an issue, I guess, for the quarterbacks trying to locate people and know who they are. But it's, I guess, let them do whatever they want. I think I'd rather have my players more worried about the game than what number they're wearing. But we'll see. We're all happy when they're doing good, but when they're doing bad, we want to pick them apart for various reasons.
Yeah, I think it's with like skill players, like receivers, and I'm not sure about running backs, but like with receivers, I feel like it's not really that big of a deal. But whenever you know you got linebackers number 9, number 6, number 11 wasn't too bad, but even like with Leonard Fournette, the number 7, it looked kind of weird. it was one of those things. I just got to get used to it, I guess. Even though, like, I watch college football all the time, and I see it all the time. Maybe like on the pro level, it's just different. So I'm on the fence. Like I said, like I'm all about giving the players, you know, the freedom to do whatever they want. But
and I'm sure it's good for business. So you're gonna sell a lot more jerseys, especially the players that are already in changing their names. That's the whole. We can go off on Washington football team and. Why they've been the Washington football team. They didn't change their name for a while because they can sell all this merchandise, and then they change their name again, they're going to sell even more. But I think it may be a generational thing because I've never had an issue with the receivers. I don't know if there was a rule against what numbers they wore, but I can kind of remember in my Pee Wee football days is kind of like the big switch might have happened or became more popular. I know my favorite player back then was Keyshawn Johnson. So I was number 19.
Yeah.
So I think the transition, you may ask somebody who's who's a lot older if they, at the time, if they liked receivers going from having numbers in the 80s to teens. And I guess that's all they went to were from 80s and teens is all they could have before this year. Yeah. And after a while, I'm sure nobody even noticed it. It's actually more of a norm to have. To have, you know, 11 as a receiver, 19 as a receiver, and then you have 88 or 83 or something like that. And
I've always remembered receivers in the NFL were able to wear like team numbers and 80s. I was born in 94, so you know. Like you said, Keyshawn Johnson was probably the first one I saw with like a team number, and but I can kind of see, you know, that change being a little problem for, you know, the older heads, you know, the guys that were like, oh, why are they wearing number 19, number 16, number 15?
I don't ever remember that talk or even if it was a rule. I'm not sure that there was a rule against it, or they just started, mm-hmm. they just didn't start changing their numbers. Right. But, you know, like I said, back then, and I guess it was the 90s when that really was changing, mm-hmm. I didn't follow football to the extent of knowing what the rules were, what people cared about. For the most part, I don't hear a lot of negative stuff about the numbers now, except for Tom Brady had interviews talking about it. There's a couple of people that said, that's kind of weird. And I personally don't like it that much. But, you know, I think it's probably observant of how important it might be that we're talking about it right now after an intense Cowboys game to open the right. season. So I guess there's some merit for it. But yeah. Before we end this, let's get predictions. I'm going to ask you some random, you know, I'm not, we are recording, so I'll hold you to them, but not too much because okay. I thought about sending you these, but I just want reactions.
Okay.
So give me one bold prediction for the Cowboys, whether it's somebody winning an award, a record, how they finish, just anything pertaining to the Cowboys and something that's going to happen this year. Just one bold, and bold for a reason. All right. So think of something and then elevate it a little bit.
Let's see. Cowboys win 12 games this year, and Amari will lead the league in receiving.
Okay. That's
yeah. Those are my two bolds.
And I don't even think that that's crazy for Amari to lead. Like we said, he had this big game on the road in,
right.
in weird conditions because you think Amari's more the one that has the cramps and issues like that, but I don't think he had mm-hmm. anything as humid as it was, and the Bucs players were dealing with it more
yeah,
than
definitely.
The Cowboys. Okay, yeah. I'm going to say I don't think it's crazy to say Dak's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. With his injury, I think if he just has a really good year, he's going to by default win it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say with as much as they're using him, not pertaining to the fact that they're down by 30 points like they did last year, mm-hmm. as much as what goes around him and the fact that there's an extra game this year, the stats are going to be crazy anyways. I say if the Cowboys can win at least 11 games, which I think they can, and win the division, be in the playoffs, I think Dak will win the MVP.
Yeah, I think so too.
I thought last year before he got hurt, he was going to break the passing record, but I didn't think he'd win MVP because the Cowboys didn't seem like they were going to win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's, you know, one of the better teams, whoever the quarterback is for those teams is going to win the MVP.
Right.
Okay. Next, who's going to be the biggest challenge for the Cowboys in the NFC East? Like, I'm not going to say who's going to win the NFC East, cause I, you know, saying 11 games, 12 games, I think you think the Cowboys are going to win. You'd be crazy not mm-hmm. to with this horrible division, but what's a team you think is going to challenge them?
Easily Washington for me. They have probably the best front four in the league. Chase Young's probably going to, he's definitely a defensive player of the year candidate this year. I think he's going to be, you know, at least top two, him and Aaron Donald, maybe even Jalen Ramsey, but they're definitely going to be tough, and especially with, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback, you never know what he's going to do. He's going to throw the ball 50 times. There's no window. He doesn't think he can fit the ball in. So, I mean, they're going to be tough. That's one of those wild cards. I think they even had Washington, like some, you know, some odds makers had Washington winning the division, but I don't see that happen, but they will definitely challenge, you know, Dallas for sure this year.
Yeah, it's hard with Fitzpatrick. He's probably going to have a 4 or 5 game stretch where he does really good and then he just falls off. He just drops mm-hmm. off. So I don't know that he's going to be the quarterback all season, but I will tell you, I don't fear the games where the Cowboys face Tom Brady or right. Russell Wilson. It's when they play rookies or backups. It's somehow they always let them Right. Whether it's not enough film to watch or whatever, it's always games like that. But I'm going to say the Giants. I don't know that the Giants are going to win that many games, but I think when the Cowboys play the Giants and match up against them, it's always an ugly,
right,
ugly game. I mean, even last year before Dak got hurt, they had to come back and beat the Giants. A couple of years ago, it was when the Black Cat ran across the field on Sunday night or Monday Night Football. The Cowboys, ugly game, and the Cowboys had to come back and win. And there was another one I just remember. I don't know why I remember this. It was in the Romo era, but they were down 21-10. And I'm being a little younger, going to my head, well, if they do this, they score a touchdown here, they get the ball back. They end up coming back and winning. And then, of course, I think it was to open the season, Sunday Night Football or whatever it was. I remember this because a guy at work was a huge Giants fan, and he was kind of a dick, texting me the whole game they were losing. And Romo goes back with like a minute left in the game, just drives them down and beats them on a game-winning touchdown to Witten. And so it always seems that I can't think off the top of my head where the Giants or the Cowboys blow out the other one. I can think many times where the Redskins blew them out twice last year without Dak. What are you going to do? The year before that, the Cowboys ended the season beating the Redskins by 30 points. They've blown out the Eagles a couple of times. It just seems there's a struggle with the Giants. So I don't know if it's going to be in the standings where the Giants are able to win enough games to win the NFC East, but I wouldn't be crazy surprised if the Giants either swept the Cowboys this year or just there were two really close games against the Giants, because that's always how it seems to be.
Yeah, the Giants, like you said, they always give the Cowboys a game. I can't remember a game where they just blew them out. And like you said, touching back on what you said about the, rookie quarterbacks killing the Cowboys, it's like you remember the game Colt McCoy started for the Redskins?
Yes.
And he was I thought he was the second coming of Dan Marino or something. He was playing at Texas.
And nothing really came of it. And that was that year. I remember this specifically because I wasn't particularly into it with this guy, but he was into it all over Facebook. A huge Seahawks fan that I knew from high school. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he stuck out that season to me, but I remember him talking about that, man, they can't even beat Colt McCoy. We're going to blow him out. That was the year they blew it. I don't know if they blew him out, the Seahawks.
Yeah, in the playoff?
No, it was during the regular season, but the Cowboys beat the Seahawks. I think the final score, they won by 10.
Yeah, I remember that.
But they were beating them by a lot. Romo went.
When Terrence Williams had that crazy catch on the sideline.
Yes, because the Cowboys went into Seattle and blew them out. It was such a crazy year. I think that's when the Dak caught it year. I believe that when they lost in Green Bay and beat Detroit in the playoffs. So it was a really good year. But then, it's the rookie quarterback. Whatever the Cowboys' issue with that is. We have time for one more. Let's get your Super Bowl predictions. Who makes it to the Super Bowl and who wins it?
Cowboys, Chiefs.
Wow. Man, I'd be so happy.
Cowboys, Chiefs.
And it'd be one of those situations where if you tell me beforehand that the Cowboys are going to make the Super Bowl, I'll say, sure, I don't even care. It's a successful season. Then we get there, they lose, and we're like, man, they suck again. And you know how it is.
I think, all right, but my non-biased, if it's not the Cowboys, I just feel like one of those NFC West teams will probably get there. Maybe the Rams. I think the Rams are probably my favorite in that division. But
you finally get Matthew Stafford some help.
Yeah,
he actually has a decent team.
Matthew Stafford some help. That's the big thing, and I think he's gonna have a great year. I've always been kind of a fan of Matthew Stafford, especially doing so much with so little in Detroit. So that's probably like my dark horse. Probably the Rams. Well, Rams, and I think the Chiefs just have the AFC. Just I don't see any team. Maybe Buffalo challenging them, but. The Chiefs, like Pat Mahomes was talking about going undefeated this year. They're that confident. And I will be too, because I think he's the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah. So and he's got the chip on his shoulder from the Super Bowl. He wants to prove everybody wrong, if that's weird to say, because at least in the regular season, he's just been nearly unstoppable.
Yeah.
I have the Bills going.
Yeah, I like the Bills.
The only reasoning I have for that is when I ever put reasoning into this, it never, like, it makes sense, and then it never turns out that way. The Chiefs should be in the Super Bowl, but I like the Bills. And I have them facing the Packers. Mainly because the Packers were just there last year. Right. They're bringing back a couple of pieces. And Aaron Rodgers is, he's got that a-hole mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like the FU mentality. And I know he's coming back for 1 year. And he's just going to go off and try to, you know, and he's going to do something, whether it's winning the Super Bowl or at least getting there. And I would hate to play. As much as the Cowboys have been beaten by Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, you know, I'd hate to play Aaron Rodgers this year in the playoffs. Just because he's not happy in Green Bay. He basically had to make a decision or give up a bunch of money. So he's like, okay, F you, I'm going to come play. We're going to win a Super Bowl, and then I'm going to go pull a Tom Brady and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so that's my pick. I have the Packers and the Bills. And as much as I hate to say it, I guess the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. Because if I have that matchup with nothing else, I think, okay, here's my matchup. The Bills don't really have any experience there.
Right, and every time they get there, they lose.
Exactly, and Allen's never played a Super Bowl. Although Rodgers has really only played one, but he has that big game experience and the veteran experience. So, yeah, I'll say the Packers beat the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's not a bad. That's actually a really good prediction. I wasn't even thinking about the Packers, but like you said, the.
And you never do. You never think about the Packers. You're like, okay, they're done. Aaron Rodgers is old. And then they, you know, pretty much should have won. They should have won, beaten the Bucs in the NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Tom Brady was just like, here's the ball again. Here, intercept this one again. It's right there for the taking. And then, you know, they screw up. But Chris, I'm glad you could join us again. We're going to have you on. Yeah, we'll have you on again talking more football.
For sure. I will definitely be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks.